Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour with Mike Snyder and Mark Rawson here on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Network, and of course this show is called the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour. Today is Tuesday, July 21st, and we are starting the show at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a little bit of a surprise today. We are actually going to have our first woman guest on the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour, and we're hoping going forward in the future that we'll actually be bringing in more women during our radio hour, because it doesn't have to be strictly about men, but, you know, so that's our surprise for tonight. We're just waiting for her to connect, and we'll be bringing her on the air in a few minutes, and with that, let me go ahead and reach out. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, Mark.
It's always great to have you on. We were kind of talking about the difference between hot and cold, and how it seems like we've been doing this show for so long. I've seen a couple winters with Mike, and I've seen a couple summers with Mike, and it seems to be a variation of either freezing or being really, really hot. So I'm definitely getting my, I don't want to call it my hazing, but I'm going to say my baptism in my new place here in Texas, as this is my first summer. And I'm living, of course, now in Fort Worth, Texas. For anybody who's been tracking me around the globe, I do seem to move every 3 or 4 months. So it's always an interesting journey. And let me go ahead and just kind of talk about a few things and just let you know we did have our guest who's going to be on this evening. He got sick, and we're going to have him on in September. So if you got a little confused when you went to the website earlier in the week and saw the one guest that was going to be on and then saw the other guest that's on there now, we did just cut over our guest today because of our other one being sick. And we're lucky enough to have Julie Starr, who's going to be on our show this evening. To find out more about this show and other shows, make sure to go to our website for the radio show, which is Spiritual Connections Radio, and like I said, I'm kind of stalling for time because I'm waiting for our guest to connect into the show, so we should have her on any minute now. And with that, how's your summer going, Mike?
Oh, pretty good. Like I said, a little warm, but other than that, I'm enjoying it.
Very cool. Yeah. My console just reset, so hold on. There we go. So, I've been doing a lot of traveling this year and just got back from New Jersey. I was actually up in your area, Mike, visiting my daughters in New Jersey and also taking care of something that I had left open for quite a while, which was my storage locker. When I had moved out of New Jersey, about 3 years ago, I'm just pausing for a second because our friend is looking for the icon, and it's funny because I've never actually looked at the icon, so let me take a walk out to our site for a second and just see what it is that we're looking for. So bear with me, everybody, while I do a little investigation here. See if I can multitask a little bit. So, you know, I had moved out of New Jersey about 3 years ago, and at the time I had a full one-bedroom apartment that I put in the storage. Well, 3 years later and thousands of dollars in storage fees, and I was kind of like, all right, it's finally time to cut this cord and do some clearing and all that great stuff. And with that, I got up there this last weekend and had a chance to enlist the help of the Upper Eddy, Pennsylvania Fire Department that went in to grab everything that I had there, and basically they're going to auction it all during their August carnival to raise money for the Fire and Rescue Department. So I was really excited to A, see that I didn't have to hire movers, and B, that all the different things that I had in storage were going to go to such a good cause. So I was really, really excited to see that. So I'm just going to give a message out to Julie and let her know that when she brings up the radio show information and actually can see the show, there is an icon that says On the Air, and next to that, to the right, there's something that says call in to speak with a host, and there's a phone number. And then further to the right of that is actually a Skype button. And if you click on that Skype button and you have Skype open on your computer, and now I'm going to get a little bit of an echo here because it just started. Let me go ahead and shut that down. So if you have Skype running and you click on that Skype icon, it'll actually connect into the show using Skype. And that's basically what we've been doing for all our great guests, like Julia, who's going to be coming in from, I think, from the UK. And we like to use that for our international dialing guests. So we'll just wait for her to continue to dial in. So, you know, I had a chance to clear out the storage locker, and I tell you, after 3 years, it felt good to finally clear that. And this month being the first month that I actually didn't have to make a payment. So, what kind of stuff have you been doing, Mike? I think you've been doing some retreats for Brigida, right, with Ascended Masters?
Yeah, it's been very enjoyable. In fact, I have my next one coming up this weekend, so I'll be going up to Windsor in New York State again. And the retreats are really nice. We have usually smaller groups of people, usually about 15 people or so. And I provide the music when we do the different meditation pieces. And it's a very serene and peaceful area up there. It's a little bit secluded. And it's right along the Susquehanna River. And it's really just an amazing experience to take some of the work that Brigida does at some of her regular meditation classes and channeling classes, but then to have them for 3 days in a row. So we really get into some in-depth work. But it's very enjoyable, and it's very fun, the fellowship of meeting new people up there, you know. And I know she does it every summer, so I highly recommend it to anybody who's interested to sign up next year.
Excellent. And why don't you go ahead and give out her website so people can find out more about those retreats?
Oh, sure. It's www.lightbridge101.com.
As always, Mike, I always love to promote you and the work that you do. So why don't you, because I don't, if anybody was listening to the beginning of the show, the music that's played is actually played by Mike. And he does that also during the St. Germain radio show, which we do once a month. And then also, he does private sessions, and he does sessions remotely and everything. Those are kind of like one-on-one with clients, and I've experienced some of those, and those have actually been amazing. And I know a lot of the music that you do is available on your website. So why don't you talk about, you know, what is this music? I mean, is it channeled, and how can people find it, and, you know, what's a session like with you, and how can people book one of those?
Oh, okay. Well, basically, the best place to find out all the information about what all I offer with the healing music that I play for different meditation groups. I also play at a metaphysical church, usually the fourth Sunday of the month. And like we were talking about earlier, for my friend Brigida down in Clinton, New Jersey, mostly we do some of our events there and some other locations. But as Mark was saying, I also offer private sessions, and I also have music CDs, like basically general meditation, relaxing music CDs. That everything is up on my website, which is www.mikesnydercc.com. So when you go on my site, you'll see I have different pages on there that have information about the different things that I offer. And when you go to the page for the CDs, you'll see several different CDs that I've come out with that are for different purposes. And the newest one that I just came out with recently is actually titled Emergence. And this CD I created right in the beginning of spring, actually with Brigida. We actually telepathically connected we were at two different locations at the time, and the music that came out of that was really amazing, and Emergence was a great title because it was right at, like I said, the beginning of the spring, and here we had a very, very cold, icy winter, and it was a very tough winter, and, you know, I know around here we're all really jonesing for spring, and it's hard to believe it. Just a few months ago, we were so excited for spring, and now I'm saying, wow, it's too hot, but I'll take the hot over the cold anyway. But it's a very powerful CD. I highly recommend it, and it's the music on it is unlike any other music or CD that I've done before, but it's very peaceful, very empowering. And some of my other works on there, I have a CD called Inner Peace. I have one called Release. They all have different purposes and different kinds of music on them. So, but furthermore, to talk about a one-on-one private session, I do sometimes do the private sessions over Skype, and I do the majority of them in person out of my friend Brigida Center in Clinton, New Jersey. And basically the way it works is I have the client lay down on the healing table, and I'll bring through some messages from Spirit initially, some channeled messages. And when we get into the music portion, I get out my special noise-canceling headphones, and I have them connected to the piano along with my own set of headphones. And I also have the piano connected to my computer. And I usually play about 30 to 45 minutes of channeled healing music that is brought to me in a combination from my guides and the client's guides. In spirit to bring about healing and bring about relaxation and comfort. And while I'm playing the music, I have it recorded on the computer so I can give the client a CD of the music at the end to take home and then play whenever they wish. So that's just a little bit about the music session. And the music is different for everybody because everybody has a different energy field and a different life circumstance, personality, and so forth. And again, I have all the information on my website of how you can experience that. And Mark, I think, boy, I've done more sessions for you than anybody, and I always appreciate that and enjoy working with you. So Mark can tell you all about it as well. But so that's some information about some of the services that I offer. And Mark, I know you offer a lot as well. Are you still there, Mark? Okay, so I think Mark is still trying to work on getting our guests connected to the show. But if you haven't gone to Mark's website before, I was just going to have you give out your website, Mark.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. So we're just getting Julie tied into the show, and she is connected now. We're just waiting to get some earbuds and everything because we're getting a little bit of echo and everything. So I want to make sure everybody's able to hear her because I know she has so much great stuff to share with us tonight. So I'll be back talking to her in the back room in a minute. But if you want to find out more about the work that I do, You can go to my website, which is Mark A. Rawson. That's R-A-W-S-O-N. So it's markarawson.com. And thank you for that. And, Mike, I'll let you tell a story or something. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay. No problem. But as I was saying, yeah, Mark has had a lot of sessions with me, and it's interesting he was talking about his apartment in New Jersey, because when we met about 3 or 4 years ago, I would actually sometimes bring my piano down to his apartment, and we started working together ever since.
Excellent. That's really cool, Mike. So we're excited to have our guest on, so why don't you go ahead and do the introduction.
Okay. Well, tonight, everyone, we have our guest is Julie Starr, and a little brief intro about Julie. She's a bit like the character in her novel, whose name is Finch. She shows up in different places in different guises. Wearing slippers as she works, she writes novels, short stories, verses, and lyrics, because if she doesn't, her head fills up with the noise of everything. In the world of business, she turns up... So in the world of business, she turns up as an executive coach, mentor, speaker, and she has 3 books published on coaching and mentoring, and they've been translated into several different languages. So, Julia, welcome to the show. We're really glad to have you tonight.
Hello. It's so lovely to be here, finally. Sorry, I've gone through about 3 different pieces of kit in order to conquer the technology. I'm here.
Well, you know, one way or the other, it's great to have you on, Julia.
No, it's lovely. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's actually a very special show this evening because we call ourselves the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour. And you are actually our first woman guest, and we have some more lined up this year. But we're just excited to be, like, breaking and baptizing and doing all kinds of, like, new things here starting to do this.
How wonderful. So, how wonderful. Great.
Very excited. So... are you actually coming to us from the United Kingdom?
Yes, it's about 1:15 here in the UK. I have my slippers on because it seems appropriate, especially given that lovely introduction. So yes, I'm in the UK. I'm in Gloucestershire. I'm in the Cotswolds, which is a very beautiful area of the UK, if you're familiar with that.
No, not at all, but we're so excited to have you on, and of course, as I always say, I love the accent. before we get started, why don't you go ahead and tell us the name of your book?
Yeah, it's the title of the book is Magic to Memphis, and it has a subtitle, which is What If Your Life is Working from the Inside Out?
Excellent, and... also, why don't you tell us where we can find that?
So I have a site for the book, which is roughdogbooks.com, and rough is spelt R-U-F-F, so it's a little bit different, R-U-F-F-books.com, and you'd also find it on Amazon or, you know, all the major online booksellers have it, you know, UK, US. It's pretty easy to find, I hope.
Excellent. And also, I know that you have a main website for your consulting group, so why don't you go ahead and give everybody that?
Yeah, my work in organizations is out of my company, which is called Star Consulting, and the website for that is starconsulting.co.uk, and Star is spelled a little bit different, again, in that it's got 2 R's, so STARR consulting.co.uk.
Excellent. And if anybody missed any of that, her link for her website is up on Spiritual Connections Radio, so you can go up there and click on it there.
Yeah.
So first of all, let me say thank you for being on the air at 1 a.m. And, tell me, how did you get started with writing?
I think, like a lot of writers, it's something that it's difficult to remember when I started writing, because it feels like I've always written, you know, from being a child and a teenager and, you know, a young adult. I've always written and, you know, professionally always wanted to write for the work that I do in organizations, so which is how I came to write the three books on coaching and mentoring. But actually there was something a little bit unfulfilled, which is how I come to be writing novels.
Excellent. Now, have you always written? It seems to me, from what I can see, that you, your normal first hat would be doing consulting.
I've always written stories, short stories, and written. This is the first novel that I've ever shared, but it's certainly not the first novel I've written. Like a lot of writers, you kind of write stuff, and it's garbage, but it's kind of on your road to understanding what your voice is as a writer and what it is you have to say. So underlying the writing that I do in organizations, I also write articles in business for magazines and online magazines and things like that. In the background of all of that, there's always been a creative writing element, but it's always been quite a personal thing. Until ultimately I wanted to hone the craft a little bit more, went off and studied the more formally the techniques and principles of writing in order to to produce something that I thought was good enough to share, really. And there's a lot of work and a lot of years gone into this book, Magic to Memphis. It's been its own journey, as well as the journey in the book. It's taken me on a journey. I've written it in different countries, in different locations, in different situations, and it was a book that just wanted to be written, I think.
Very good. For myself, I know that I'm currently in the middle of writing my first book, and
great.
I think the biggest challenge I keep on coming across, you're kind of bringing this up to see if you have any ideas or how you tackle this yourself, but the biggest challenge I have right now is I write it, and as I write it, I'm like, well, I don't think anybody cares what I have to say, or I don't. It's a story about my spiritual journey, and there's part of me that's like, well, I don't understand why anybody would want to read this. I don't understand why anybody would care, and I don't think I have anything to share. And I'm just wondering, did you run across some of those challenges when you first started writing some of your first books?
Yeah. I recognize those thoughts, and I think it's potentially a form of self-sabotage. And I think when you write, if you write with a critic on your shoulder, then that kind of stems the creative flow of writing, and you're getting in your own way, and you're getting you're kind of corrupting the integrity of what essentially is coming through. I'd also say that sometimes we write for ourselves. It becomes almost a spiritual practice in itself, because it's a way to communicate with yourself. It's a communion with a different aspect of ourselves, and I think that type of writing in itself is productive and it's useful. I write my own reflection notes, I write my own morning pages or learning diary occasionally, to help me figure out what I'm thinking, what questions I have, and I think any writing in that way is valid. And I think sometimes we put this pressure on ourselves. We imagine the context of writing for somebody else or writing for an audience, and I'm not sure that's always helpful. I'd encourage you just write and then see what you've got when you've got it, but don't try and critique it or edit it as you're going, because I think that does corrupt something that's essential to the process.
Thank you. That's really good wisdom there. Hey, Mike, I sent you an email with some notes, so if you could check for that real quick.
Oh, okay. I'll take a look then.
Well, he's pulling that up. Let me go ahead and ask the next question. As I know, the other hat talked earlier is that you're a coach. So talk about some of the coaching work that you do. What does that look like?
Yeah, I tend to work in large organizations. I work with senior executives and managers, CEOs sometimes. And my work is essentially one-to-one conversational work. So I would go into somebody's workplace and spend a couple of hours, sometimes 3 hours with them, downloading what's happening with them and supporting them with that using coaching principles. It's a privilege to do that kind of work. It's a it's a relationship of trust and care. Ultimately, you know, it's bringing heart into organizations where a lot of the time people are in that mind space. So it's a privilege to do the work, and it's frequently humbling in terms of the situations and dilemmas that I get to support and help people with. And yes, it's a big part of my life and the work that I've been doing for the last 20 years.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, you can tell when you give out that bit of information about self-sabotage. You can see the archetype of the coach or the wisdom person or that great talent and gift coming out. So,
right.
Go ahead, Mike. Did you get the notes and everything?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So okay, my question. Well, the question I'd like to ask is, what has been your journey to able to write your books? What's some of the learning and life experiences that's really influenced your writing?
Yeah, I think some of that's a personal journey, some of that's a professional journey, some of it's probably a spiritual journey in that sense. It's essentially a book for young adults. It's also a crossover book. So whilst the content is aimed at young adults, it also has an interest for older readers as well. But you know, I begin with my own journey as a young adult and the frustrations and tensions that we feel at that age. You know, having all this world in front of us and all this latent potential inside of us and trying to match and marry the two. There's also the work that underpins my coaching work, which is personal development work. You know, since maybe my early 20s. You know, first started reading interesting literature, reading people like Deepak Chopra or Byron Katie or Brandon Bays, Anthony Robbins, people like that, M. Scott Peck, Eckhart Tolle, you know, that whole self-inquiry journey that we go on to understand, what's life about, what makes us happy, successful and fulfilled, who are we really? Those essential questions that kind of form the breadcrumbs that we then follow to figure our lives out, if you like. So there's that journey, both in a personal and professional context. There was this idea I wanted to offer young adults, which is how our lives work out is essentially up to us. You know, that we are the architect of our own destiny a lot of the time. And yes, sometimes that means coming into conflict with challenges and changes that we don't perhaps anticipate. But ultimately, there are some really empowering messages, and it's messages that and ideas that I've felt to be true and certainly that I live by. And I just wanted to share those in a kind of parable form of a novel. You know, that it just seemed a really nice way to blend some interesting ideas into the story of, one girl's quest, a musician's quest to find out, who she is in the world.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have a friend of mine who's a writer as well, and she's written short stories and different things like that for many years, and she's actually in the process of writing her first novel now, which she's shared some of the information with me. And, you know, we got talking the other day, and I said, it's interesting because, novels and books and so forth that are fiction, they're never really 100% fiction. I mean, there's always something that you pull from as an author from your own life experience.
Yeah.
You know, as I like to joke around and say, the names have been changed to protect the innocent, So, you don't always use the real names of the people in your life, obviously, but it's just interesting because even when you get into movies and other type of things like that, which have scripts and books written, whether it be Star Wars or something, you just wonder what part of that person's mind, maybe they believe in past life and have a regression or something, what brings all this information and creativity to you, or what kind of experiences did you have, or maybe some people have some really interesting dreams and they come up with these wild characters, So I think that's part of the adventure of writing, wouldn't you agree, is just
how you use your life experiences, but you put it into a fictional context where you're not really giving away specific experiences. But if you didn't have those life experiences, inspirations, it kind of be pretty hard to write anything at all.
It would. And with things like, so some of what I recognize in the book that clearly, you know, is from my own experience, some of the emotions and the frustration and the tension and the, you know, the hopes, the dreams this young person has. And I think, you know, those certainly fuel good writing, because good writing should evoke emotion. It's a bit like I was saying to Mark earlier, in order to stand in the creative flow, you have to go with that and you have to express what's coming through, and then you stand back and look at what you've written, and that can be a little bit daunting sometimes when you start to examine it and wonder, okay, how much of this is mine and how much of this is obviously mine and how much of this feels more, you know, more clean creativity, if you like. Hopefully, as I look at it, you know, it's the story of an angry young musician who's, you know, she's run away, she's angry, she's hostile, she's living in a trailer in the Midwest of America with just a pit bull terrier for company. None of that I recognise as my formative youth, you know, growing up in Yorkshire as the daughter of a news agent and a bank manager. So hopefully, you know, hopefully the more personal details aren't there, I think, I hope. I see a lot of myself in some of the characters and less in others. It does get a bit Jungian in that way.
Yeah, it's neat too how writing gives you the freedom to kind of act out, you know, different experiences that you haven't had in life, you know, some that maybe you wish you would have had or some that you're glad you didn't, you know.
I think so. I mean, I don't, as a writer, I think writers, and you'll have writers listening to this show, as writers write differently. You know, some people plot, some people don't plot. I don't plot. With me, it's more a stream of consciousness. You know, with other people, there's more of an architecture to how they do it. You know, there's more of a plan and an approach, and, you know, they kind of envisage how things are going to flow and work out. With me, it's very much a narrative, and I feel a bit more like a journalist, if you like, watching what's happening in my head rather than, you know, fulfilling a plan in that way.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mark, I had another question regarding something to do with her coaching. Now, did you have another question regarding the books first, or would you like me to move on to that, Mark?
I'll come back to the book in a minute. So, why don't you go ahead with the coaching?
Okay, I'm just looking, Juliet, some information from your website that talks about how you work with managers, executives across the different industries, and specializing in the personal development, emotional intelligence. So the question I have is something that I'd like to understand a little bit more. It says you're a licensed master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming and practitioner of the journey method. So I was wondering if you could first talk a little bit about the neuro-linguistic programming and then also about the journey method.
Yeah, so NLP is something I've been practicing for at least 20 years, and it has its origins in the States. So a gentleman called Richard Bandler and John Grinder first started it way back in the 70s, I think. And you have a very well-known coach called Anthony Robbins, who a lot of his practices and books and courses and things are based on NLP. So NLP is, you know, the most difficult thing about it is probably the term neuro-linguistic programming. It's about how we communicate with ourselves and our world, and it's very practical, usable, versatile information that can be used in all sorts of fields of life, from, you know, from the arts to the sports, to business, to communications, to selling. There's a lot of linguistics information in it. You know, the terms, is someone a visual, auditory, or kinesthetic orientation in what they're doing. You know, those are all terms that come from the field of NLP. So there's a lot of language, a lot of principles, a lot of selling principles and things that have their origins in this huge, vast treasure trove of information known as NLP. And, you know, I use it in my work to help people inquire, to understand themselves, to understand simple ideas that help us be more effective in situations. And so, yes, it's something that it's kind of this imperceptible foundation to a lot of the coaching work that I do, in that I don't discuss it in its technical terms or technical language, but it is informing both my own language and the presuppositions that I'm operating with somebody. You know, it forms a very generative style of conversation. So yes, that's one of the technologies that underpins my work. The journey method is something that actually has some roots in NLP and yet goes in much more of a spiritual direction, if you like, in that it's an emotional processing method. And by that I mean it's a way of helping somebody to process their emotions in order to free them, in order to arrive at more of a sense of peace in a situation, perhaps acceptance in a situation. It's therapeutic in one sense, in that it can help people deal with blocked emotions such as anger or fear or terror, even rage, even. So it's a very powerful method. It's not something that I use overtly a lot in business. It tends to be part of my pro bono work, where I help people that are perhaps struggling with more difficult issues that require more of a therapeutic approach. But certainly it's a very powerful tool for anybody wanting to shift issues such as anxiety, such as depression, you know, to heal relationships, to heal the past, to heal suffering, if you like. Because so much of suffering is emotional suffering, you know, in our Western lives.
So with between those two methods, do you really feel that part of the success of the people with their own healing is to really start to open up, to get to know themselves better, but not just to get to know themselves better, but to start to allow themselves to enjoy life in a way where they become self-empowered to the point where they're not limiting themselves so much or denying them things that they need to do. You know, there's a lot of times people can just be very hard on ourselves and not allow ourselves to take like a little vacation or spend a little extra money to treat yourself to a nice meal, or, you know, just really, really basic things. And, you know, I've been in the healing work for a while too. I do it mostly sound healing with music and music sessions for people. But even with all my other healing experiences and Reiki and stuff, you know, what I find for myself and to talk to other people is that, you know, it's we always are, as humans, a lot of us are so eager to help others right away, but sometimes not ourselves. And it's like we need to really work on ourselves first, get ourselves to a real, to heal ourselves, get ourselves into a better position, because then we can kind of like spread our light or spread our knowledge even that much greater to help others when we're in balance. But if we let ourselves get too far off key, if you can't help yourself, it's even more difficult to help others, you know. And I just wonder if that concept comes up a lot when you're working with people. Cause...
Yeah, I think, I mean, I agree totally with what you say about, you know, physician, heal thyself. I think that a lot of the work, that the personal development work that I do is in order to arrive with somebody I'm working with and be able to get myself out of the way and my own stuff out of the way and be a clearing for the conversation. And in order to do that, then obviously the work begins with myself and my own self inquiry and journey is what underpins all of the work that I do, whether that be in the writing field or in the coaching field. Absolutely. I think we spend a lot of time looking outside of ourselves for answers inside of ourselves, and I think we look to learn something else, to know something else, to achieve a different qualification or accreditation in something. And actually what needs healing is something inside of ourselves, and the journey method that was developed by Brandon Bays is something that really helps to do just that. And you know, Reiki being one form of it, the journey method being a very complementary form in terms of a conversational and visualization technique that can really free people up from the things that have been holding them back, and you know, these silent saboteurs in our lives, whether it's echoes of the past or just stored blocked emotions. The ultimate destination with all this work is a sense of freedom and aliveness, and that's certainly a lot of the direction of travel that I work with clients, is to take them to a sense of more vitality, more aliveness, more freed upness, if you like, less stuckness, less held backness or flat, just emotional flatness. I think I've been working quite a bit with the subject of depression recently, and it seems to me that one of the preconceptions I had about depression before I started working with it was that the opposite of depression was happiness, but actually the opposite of depression seems like aliveness. It just seems like this dead zone that some of us wander into and then stay there for a while and then look outside of us to try and fix or heal or medicate that in some way, which is a tragedy, really.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of ways to cover up our emotions that we don't want to deal with, and addictive tendencies we can get into. Mm. Yeah. So, Mark, I guess you said you had some more questions. I'm going to turn it over to you.
All right, sounds good. So, one of the things that I was thinking about, because I was kind of looking at a lot of the notes we had about your book and everything, Julie.
Yeah.
And we have this main concept that seems to be the foundation of a lot of your books, which is positive thinking and changing your attitude in order to change the world in turn. So can you talk a little bit about that?
So there is this subtitle of the book, which is, what if your life is working from the inside out? And it's an idea of everyday magic, and perhaps has parallels with the idea of manifestation. It's a little bit more than positive thinking, in that this girl that runs away from home, she's angry and she's hostile and she's just on the right side of the law, and she's edgy and creates a lot of conflict around her. She gets into a lot of fights and loses her job and gets kicked out of the band she's in, and starts to really tumble and fall in terms of circumstance and situation. And she meets this character called Finch, she meets him in a coffee shop, and he leaves her a card as he leaves, and on one side of the card it says, "What if your life works from the inside out?" And on the other side there's a feather. And so there's this nice idea of everyday magic that occurs, where he says to her, you learned that the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny and Father Christmas had all been made up by adults. And when you decided that there was no such thing as Father Christmas and the Easter Bunny, that you threw away the idea of magic as well. But actually, there's a kind of grown-up magic, there's an everyday magic that we can all access. But you have to tune into that, and you have to look for it, and you have to be available to it. And whether you take that idea as this, synchronicity and manifestation and thoughts are things, that's one place on a continuum, I guess, to look at it. And certainly, she starts to see feathers and things start to happen, and she starts to realize and recognize that things are starting to shift and move for her. But then she also starts to realize that she's changing and her attitude and approach is changing, and starts to wonder, you know, what's the connection between those two things. So you can take the idea as a kind of metaphysical manifestation, you know, everyday magic idea, or you can just take it as this practical idea, which is, you know, when you're angry and you're hostile, you're going to create a lot of conflict around you. And when you start to relax, to open up to people, to reconnect with people, then, you know, your situations change. There's a really nice quote that Wayne Dyer says, which is, you know, when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. And certainly, you know, all of those ideas are in the book in some form and format, you know, whether you take it literally as her, you know, the story of being a runaway, of going on a journey to Memphis, of trying to make it big in the music industry and you know, trying to make all of that happen. Or, you know, if you want to get intrigued by the magical events, the seemingly synchronistic events that start to happen, and wonder, you know, what's that about? So, yeah.
Wow, that's excellent. Thank you. I noticed that you're giving your proceeds to an orphanage. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm actually giving the proceeds of the book to three orphanages. So two of those I've been involved with personally in India. You know, when I visited India, I've visited them and met the people involved. And another one is connected to the American editor of the book, a lady called Maya Priya Long, and who also did the beautiful cover design. So yes, I wanted to give the proceeds to charity. It was an idea that once I had it seemed like it had hold of me as an idea, and it just stuck and wouldn't go away. I just, you know, sometimes you just know you should do something. And my company supports these charities anyway. We give a proportion of our profits to the charities, but it just felt cleaner to give the whole thing away and then, you know, let the book have its own life in that way. So yes, the three charities are Food for Life, Brindavan, and Ravi Rai's Children of Mother Earth Orphanage, and a lovely orphanage up in Rishikesh called Ramana's Garden. What else can I say about that? They're great charities, and they deserve supporting. They're small charities, and they're run by individuals, and, you know, they need our help.
Wow, that's excellent. I guess as we head towards the end of the show,
yeah,
I'll ask Mike if he has any questions. But before we do that, I always like to ask the one question of all our guests, and that is, what is the biggest life lesson that you've learned so far?
Ooh, you left that one till last. That's a great question. The biggest life lesson I've learned so far, I guess just to trust, you know, just to trust the process. Because when we do, things do get magical, you know. We connect with something and things seem to get a lot simpler. And the challenge is to trust, to really trust. So it's a bit like, you know, when you learn to swim and still holding on to the swimming bath wall a little. You know, you got to let go. So that takes some courage. But yeah, trust. It brings me everything. It brings me everything.
Well, thank you for that. Go ahead, Mike.
So another thing I wanted to ask you is, how do you find an interest, or do you find it interesting in working with people from different countries and different businesses from different countries? The reason I asked, I was talking to some friends of mine the other day that are originally from other countries, from Europe and everything. And I know here in the U.S., it just seems like we just seem to work, I've been talking to people, again, from other countries in Europe, especially where they actually have a lot of vacation time in the summer. And, you know, in some regards, I guess it's a little more laid back than the U.S. It's just different. It's just different people, the way they are in their environments and stuff. So I was just wondering
how you've found it interesting working with people in different countries, and how you've seen, like, maybe like the stress levels of people from one country to another, like if you've seen that maybe different cultures have a different way of ingraining things in people and so forth, if you've seen any differences there.
You see, I do work in different countries and with different cultures. I work with large organizations, and quite often, you know, it's an international community I'm working with. So even, you know, my clients in London can be from all over the world. I also work in Europe quite a lot, in Germany, in Belgium, in France, things like that. What seems apparent, you know, in just hearing you speak, is the common factor that seems to run across the community I work with is the stress and pressure of working in large organization and, you know, the whole business criteria that underpins that. So I see a lot of stress and pressure. I see a lot of fear. I see a lot of anxiety. I see burnout. I see some crazy behavior. I see, you know, thinly disguised mental ill health sometimes with people in organizations. And yes, you know, sometimes I'm working with people from very different cultures and communities to my own. I decided very early on to kind of transcend that, because I realized that I would never be able to fix, you know, a working knowledge of you know, so many different cultures. And I decided to transcend that by just trying to connect with the individual all the time. And so what binds us essentially is our humanness and you know, the eternal questions we have of how do we make ourselves happy, successful and fulfilled? What is our life about? You know, how do we answer our questions? And so my work is to help people facilitate their path of self-inquiry and their journey towards you know, the knowledge they seek, or the experience they want to realize, or the, you know, the freedom that the heart craves, if you like. So yes, people are different, and yes, it comes sometimes dressed differently, and essentially what connects us is our humanness.
Yeah, and I think what's really nice, and I know Mark and I have, you know, Mark and I were just joking around not too long ago that we've been actually interviewing a lot of guests from countries that are overseas from us, you know, so such as in your country, and also we had a gentleman from Ireland recently, and you know, we joked around that we keep having all these guests that we're waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning you know, to be on the show. But you know, I just find it fascinating, because, you know, in a lot of these interviews that we do, to hear, like, emotionally and in our spiritual mind and you know, mentally and everything, how even though we can be, you know, thousands of miles across the world from other people, a lot of us are all dealing with the same kind of work or same kind of things emotionally and spiritually. And it kind of makes you feel a little bit better that it's just you know, humanity collectively, we're just progressing all together, whether we like it or not, and to become better and more civilized and everything else. And so it just is really refreshing to know that people all the way on the other side of the world they're like, hey, I'm dealing with the same thing. I might not even speak the same language, but the same issues here as you're dealing with over there. And
They absolutely are. They come dressed differently. So, you know, sometimes we're suited and booted. Sometimes we're wearing a purple caftan. But essentially, you know, there are many paths up a mountain. There's one peak. I see that in the work I do. The questions, you know, when you dress it all down, when you take off the social masks and the pretense and the games we play, you know, we're all frightened by the same things. We're all, you know, eager to get to the same similar type of feeling, I guess. Yes, very, 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 very similar. Very similar. Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So, Mark, did you have another question?
Well, I think we'll just end up with a couple of just quick questions for everybody.
Okay.
Julie, go ahead and tell everybody the name of your new book that's out.
It's Magic to Memphis. What if your life is working from the inside out?
Okay. And we know from early in the show that you said that people can find that on all the different things, of course, like Amazon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you had given out a given us a website just for the book. Could you go ahead and tell us that one again?
Yeah. So the website for the book is roughdogbooks.com, and rough is spelt R-U-F-F, so that's a little different. roughdogbooks.com. And my name is Julie Starr with two R's, so that's S-T-A-R-R. You can find me on the web like that as well.
Okay. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you about was just go ahead and give out your consulting website again.
Yeah, that's starconsulting.co.uk, again, star with two R's, as in Ringo. And, you'll find all the stuff about the other books on coaching that help people coach, either as a manager or as a personal one-to-one coach. There's also a book on mentoring for people that are interested in mentoring and how to do that. You'll find all of that there.
Oh, excellent. Well, Julie, I want to thank you for being on the show. Just an incredible interview, and really excited to see for everybody to go out there and purchase her book and know that those proceeds are going to those orphanages.
Yeah.
So it's such a good cause and everything. And, of course, Mike, always great to have you on.
Oh, thank you. It was really great to talk to you tonight, Julie.
Yeah, no, Mike and Mark, I've loved it. It's been a real privilege. Certainly you're worth staying up late for.
Excellent. All right, let me go ahead and close down the show for everybody.
Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour with our first woman guest on July 21st. And we're on Spiritual Connections Radio once a month. And to find out more about this show and other shows, go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.